Hallelujah. Good morning. Hallelujah. You know, last week we were talking about, and we've been learning how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. How to cooperate and how to come into concert with Him to have a move of God. And a move of God is not just something that just happens because it was a divine purpose and will of God, but it's something that we can begin to step out in and cooperate with Him in the process. We can begin to learn and to know how to acknowledge Him and to follow into obedience with Him. And as we follow in obedience and as we acknowledge Him, we begin to see the result of that come forth as a move of God. For a long time, I kept looking for just a sovereign act, a sovereign position of God to come forth. But now I realize that what He's really looking for us is just our cooperation. Because if we'll cooperate with the Holy Spirit, if we'll understand, if we'll put on the heart of understanding and cooperate with Him, we can grow with Him. And as we do so, the things of God, the move of God gets built. And last week we studied out of Hebrews 8, where it speaks of building according to the pattern. To build according to the pattern. Because, and might as well just go there for just a moment. Because we want to build according to the pattern. We want to build according to what God is setting forth. And we can just, let's see. Hebrews 8, verse 5, we'll just skip to the point here. It says, who serve a copy and a shadow, just talking about the natural tabernacle. A copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to build or erect the tabernacle. See, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, and by as much he is also the mediator of a better covenant, speaking of Jesus, who has been acted on better promises. So there's a pattern being set forth, even in a natural tabernacle. We studied that last week, and we saw how in the various places and positions that were given as a pattern in the earthly tabernacle were all things that were manifestations of the Holy Spirit and how He begins to operate and cooperate in us. We saw how He interacts with us in much of the same ways that we saw in the pattern that was set forth. And so therefore, one thing that I didn't get to last week, which was the whole point of last week's message, was at the very end of this walking through the tabernacle and visiting all these places, visiting the altar and the laver, visiting the bronze altar, the place where sin is recognized and consumed by the fire. Visiting the laver where you begin to inspect and allow the introspection of God to come upon your life. The purification and the baptism of the Spirit is being represented there. And as you begin to walk through these things, there's a goal in mind. And that goal was this, just over the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies was the glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God would reside in the inner tabernacle, in the inner sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And this was the goal of everything that had to do up to that point. As the high priest came in and he was only allowed to go there once a year, we have the opportunity to go there whenever we want. But he was allowed to go there once a year, but when he went, he had to go through each of the steps and each of the stations. He had to recognize each of the things that the Holy Spirit was doing. And I suspect that if he missed a step, he got reminded pretty quick. That's why they wore the bells. Because see, if the bells quit ringing, that means he wasn't moving. And it's time to drag him out by that rope because no one else is going in there. And it's important to realize that the high priest, it wasn't just a one-day event for him. It was something he had to prepare for like, I don't remember, it was like a week or so before that he started the preparations for this because there were certain things he couldn't be around. There were certain things he couldn't do. In other words, there was a separation from the things of the world that he had to go through just to be ready to go through the steps. So in this, we recognize that the table of showbread was about the communion of the Holy Ghost. About our communion and our fellowship with our Lord and Savior. It's about feeding on His Word. And the lampstand was the illumination of that Word, the illumination and the revelation that comes forth with the altar of incense. The altar of incense being the prayer and intercession that goes forth. That was the last place as you entered into the Holy of Holies. Then in the ark, there were three items inside the ark, which was inside the Holy of Holies. And one was the Ten Commandments, which was the testimony or the evidence of God's covenant. And then the manna, which was God's pledge that I will be with you daily. We would feed daily upon that manna. And Aaron's rod, which was resurrection life, was a reminder of His power. That He can bring, even out of death, He brings life. It was not only a reminder of His power, but it was a promise of the power to come. So those things were all in the ark. And all of it led it up to the point where the mercy of God was released. The compassion of God was released. And the glory of the Lord was seen. It was a place where we could begin to touch the glory of the Lord. That's what He's looking for us to do now. Approach Him at the mercy seat. And in this, we need to recognize then the operation of the Holy Ghost. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we studied the word compassion. When as we studied the word compassion, we showed that the history of that word comes from two different words, com and pati, which means basically to co-suffer. To co-suffer. And we saw that when Jesus came to be with man and He came to co-suffer with us. And as He co-suffered with us, that He was able to identify us, and we were able to identify with Him. And as we identify with Him in this co-suffering, we were recognized that when God comes to co-suffer with us, when God comes into compassion with us, we're lifted up. We're brought into a place of increase. We also need to recognize that this same compassion, this same co-suffering applies to the Holy Ghost. He's the one who comes. He's called the Paraclete, which means the one who comes alongside. The Paraclete comes alongside. He also means He's the one who comes on the behalf of Jesus. He's the one who begins to come and take the place of Jesus Christ. He's the one who comes to habitate with us. So in that we can see that He co-suffers with us. See, the things that you're experiencing, He's experiencing through you. Now, it's important because that means you have to begin to recognize that He's in that experience with you. When we see that, now it gives us a way to begin to understand and have a different response to our circumstance. Because we're no longer alone. The God of all heaven who's come to take up residence with you. He says He's with you now and forever. He's not only taking up residence with you just for a moment, but He's taking up residence with you forever. And as he takes up residence, he comes alongside to co-suffer, but he also comes alongside to lift you up. Go to John 16 and 7. We'll just look and see there where the Holy Spirit is promised, because I don't want you just taking my word for it. You need to see it in the Word. John 16, we'll go to verse 7. Actually, we'll go to verse 5. So John 16, verse 5 says this, I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Verse 6, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If I go, I will send him to you. It's to your advantage that I go away. See, the Holy Spirit is promised. He's a paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside. He comes alongside. He takes the place of Christ. So in the same way that Christ came in compassion, and compassion means meaning to co-suffer, so the Holy Spirit comes and co-suffers because he's along with us in the moment. But then we get the opportunity to see and understand his ministry, both to us, in us, and then through us. And in that ministry that he has, all things begin to be lifted up. As I explained a couple of weeks ago, when we co-suffer with someone else, oftentimes that winds up with both of us being in the sewer. But when God comes and co-suffers with us, it results in us being lifted up. It results in us coming up to a new place in our circumstance. It results in something good happening and being released in our life. So this is what's going on here. And it goes on in verse 16, he says this, and this is, begins to tell us and speak to us about the operation of the Holy Ghost. And even as we saw the operations of the Holy Ghost as being seen throughout the temple, now we can begin to see and understand from some of these things, what those will begin to look like maybe in a service or maybe in your life. So this is one of the things that he begins to say in John 16 and 8. He says, if he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So when he convicts of sin, what is that establishing? That is establishing the opportunity and the motive for salvation. It's establishing the motive of salvation. When he convicts of righteousness, he's establishing the place and the basis of our fellowship with God. And when he's convicting of judgment, what is he doing? He's setting the platform of deliverance. Because when the enemy is judged, when he's found lacking every time he's judged, when he's judged, then there's an eviction that happens. Because the end of what is going to happen with him is already made sure. So when the judgment comes, it's time for him to leave. See, that judgment doesn't come just through anything. It comes through the name of Jesus. It's released through the name of Jesus. But we have to know in our heart that it's so. Just like we have to know in our heart that when the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of righteousness, he's extending to us the opportunity of fellowship. If I don't understand the righteousness that he's given to me, if I don't walk in the place of that righteousness, I can't walk in a true intimacy with God that he wants me to walk in. Because why? Because I'm going to be afraid and be hiding behind something. Or I'm going to be turning and running away from him every time that I do something that I shouldn't have done. But he wants you to know that your righteousness is not about you. Your righteousness is about him. Now, let me go one step farther. Your holiness is about you. It's about your obedience to walk with Him. When you walk in holiness, it's because you made a choice to walk into the righteousness and stand in the righteousness and cooperate with Him. So right here in this one verse, He gives you several of the characteristics of things that would happen that you would even see in a service as you walk through the pattern. Because what we're talking about is establishing the pattern. Establishing the pattern, walking in the pattern. What does it look like to walk in the pattern of the Holy Ghost? So we see salvation, we see fellowship with the Lord. We see deliverance happening because of those things. Acts 9 and 31, we'll flip over there for just a moment. Here's part of the pattern of the early church that was being set aside. Because in the pattern, there is a likeness for us to follow after. So Acts 9 and 31 says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase." In the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now see, that word comfort, we don't translate it like that today. What that word comfort there actually means is the exhortation of the Holy Ghost. The exhortation, the admonition of the Holy Ghost. The consolation of the Holy Ghost. So when we begin to see that that was an exhortation, it was an admonition, it was a consolation. When we begin to see that those are the acts and the praises of God, and those are the means that the Holy Spirit will interact with us, both personally and in a service, then we can begin to understand a little more about the movement, what brings us closer to that place of the glory above the mercy seat. Drawing us into the glory. The exhortation draws us into the glory. The admonition can draw us into the glory. Why? Because with the admonition will also come the empowerment to walk out the plan of God. When it's a true word of being released, it will give you not only the correction, but it will also give you the direction. One of the things there I mentioned was the fear of the Lord, and one of the things that we have seen personally, this is a necessary component. Because it's in the fear of the Lord that life is released. It's in the fear of the Lord that keeps you from getting cocky, prideful, boastful, lifted up in an unholy way. Because see, God wants to lift you up, but not for the purpose of just making you shine so that you can feel good. He's going to lift you up, but He's going to have you humble in the process. Ephesians 5, if you want to go there for a moment, we'll see some of the funner aspects here. Just like on the day of Pentecost, there was such an outpouring and such a pandemonium going on. You know what? That's going to happen sometimes in your personal life and sometimes in the services. But a pandemonium going on such that they were convicted of being drunk. That was what was being said. They're all drunk. There's a silliness that can happen in the presence of God. But see, it's for the purpose of bringing deliverance in your heart. It's for the purpose of setting your heart into a place that is loose enough where you can actually receive what He's about to do. It's not just about somebody getting up and acting silly. It's not about somebody getting up and acting in the flesh. What it's about is God releasing things in our hearts so that we can actually hear and receive what He's about to move into with. In Ephesians 5 and 18, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, there may be a moment or two that looks a little goofy. But there will also be a change and a transformation that happens in our heart as a result of the experience. You know, joy is a wonderful thing. happiness is a wonderful thing. But joy is more than just an emotion. Happiness is just an emotion. But joy is something that's systemic, organic in us that begins to transform even the very nature of our heart. And begins to change the nature of how we look at a circumstance and a situation. And a joy is something that can transcend the circumstance. You can be joyful even when everything looks bad. And if you stand in joy when it looks bad, it changes things. It changes your heart and it changes even the circumstance. Because the atmosphere around you, when you're joyful, the atmosphere around you will draw the goodness towards you. Go to Acts 13. Sometimes there's things that will begin to be received and given by the Holy Ghost. Acts 13, verse 2 says, "And they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.'" See, there's words of prophecy and words of release that'll happen when there's a movement of the Holy Ghost going on. Sometimes the words of prophecy are just simply an encouragement, like we talked about earlier. An encouragement to be able to go on. An encouragement to look for one more day. An encouragement to step out past what you see in the moment so that you can begin to reflect the true nature of Christ. But other times, the word that comes forth will be a word of direction and vision. A word that sets a course. A word that comes and releases what God has already ordained for you. A word that releases and commands a blessing upon your life because it brings with it the empowerment to go and to do. I like what Enrique, we were talking yesterday, and he said he used to think that Paul must have had some special dispensation given to him, some special deposit made in him. And the Lord just said, no, that's not the case. He said he had the same faith that's available to you. Think about that. Think about that. The man walked through incredible things. He'd walked through and manufactured incredible miracles. Handkerchiefs laid upon his body were sent to the sick and they were recovered. And he was walking in the same faith that's available to you. He was shipwrecked, what, 3 times? And he was beaten with a rod several times. And he continued to walk. And he continued to travel. He walked 3,000 miles on feet that should not have been able to walk. When they beat your feet with rods, they intended for you not walk ever again. So there's every one of those times was a miracle. He was stoned. When they were stoned him, they intended to stone you till you were dead. Now, where the scripture does not say whether or not he was dead, but it does say that the saints gathered around him and prayed. I believe they raised him up. But I'll tell you what, I think I'd get a little scared when he comes walking back into town. But that same faith is available to you. And not only did he walk back into that town, but he walked into the 3 towns that he had visited before because all of them had been tempting to stone him, and he walked back into every one of them and said, "Hey, I'm here." And you know what? The next time he went on another missionary journey, he stopped in those same places again. Just reminding him, I'm still here. And that faith is available to you. That faith is available to you. That operation of God is available to you. The same grace that Paul walked in is available to you. The difference is we got to allow ourselves not to have that excuse anymore. We've given ourselves an excuse. We've given ourselves the excuse of allowing that, well, that was for a different time or that was for a different season. No, we got the same God. We've given ourselves excuses. Well, you know, I'm comfortable right here. Time to grow up with God. Step out with Him. Allow Him to be who He is through you. Allow Him to be who He is. Romans 5:5 says this, that He will shed the love abroad in your heart. His love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You know, that's one of the things that as I finish up a sozo session, as we finish in the deliverance, I want to always impart to people is that shedding abroad of the love of God in their heart. Because see, there's an infilling that happens when the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. There's an expansion that happens when the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. To be shed abroad means it has to be shed somewhere outside of where it was before. And oftentimes, right after deliverance, that's a perfect time because now all of a sudden, you know, there were things that were habitating there that aren't habitating anymore. So we've got extra space. Let's shed some more love abroad in the heart. Let's shed the love of God abroad. Because see, when the love of God is being shed abroad, it's not only being shed in my heart, but it's being shed outside of my heart. And when it begins to be shed outside of my heart, it begins to affect the life of another. I shed the love of God outside. You know, I found times where God will just, even if I'm standing, I maybe just have a thought about somebody or I see somebody from a distance and He'll shed such an intensity of love. That there's just an intensity of love that rises up. But you know, that's not what happens in your personal life, but it'll also happen corporately in a service. Where there's an intensity of love that comes alive in your heart. John 15:26 says this, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness to us of Christ. So what happens? How does God bear witness? If you'll turn to Hebrews 2:4, we'll see this. It says in Hebrews 2:4, it says, God also bearing witness, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness in the same way with Him both by signs and wonders and various miracles. Signs and wonders and various miracles. Signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. So He releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, miracles. He releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He releases signs and wonders. And in any given service and in your life, you are allowed the opportunity to see Him do these things. You're allowed the opportunity to see Him release His gifts on the behalf of another. I haven't seen this one yet, but I can just imagine the joy to be the first person that somebody sees. To be the first person someone sees. What a joy. I know the joy from just the other night of being there and seeing that someone who's suffered with a hernia for 3 years gets up and walks away with no hernia. God will show you the signs and wonders. When tumors disappear, He's showing you the signs and wonders. When legs and arms grow out, He's showing you the signs and wonders. When the deaf hear and the blind see, He's showing you signs and wonders. If we'll push through, He's going to show us times when cancer just dies on the spot. There's no reason for so many of the saints to be taken out over things like this because we need to pray. Signs and wonders, miracles. Love being shed abroad in our heart. These are all things that happen. But the most significant one happens right here in Jude. There's only one chapter of Jude. Jude, and we'll go to verse 20. Here's what it says in verse 20. It says, you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit bringing you. And as He brings you through the pattern, He brings you through that template that's been laid out. And shows you, here's how we go to the place of glory. Here's how we walk into the place of glory. Because we visit all the things along the way that we need to touch that moves your heart. Because ultimately what we're trying to do is build your faith. Because see, when your faith is built, then the signs and miracles and wonders flow. When your faith is built, then the glory of God is open to you. When your faith is built, the mercy seat becomes a place of relevance to you. When your faith is built, it's something that begins to be transferable, not for just from you, but also to another, so that you can see and react and respond to someone else out of the nature of Christ and no longer out of the nature of your flesh. Because when your faith is built, now you can put a demand upon a God who is much bigger than your problem. You know, so often we've given the enemy all the credit. Well, the devil can't make you do it. He doesn't have the power. God can. He chooses not to make you do anything, but he'll make himself available if you want to. He'll make himself available. When we have faith, see, faith is the currency. Faith is the currency of heaven. It's the thing that puts the demand on heaven and releases it in this earth. God is looking for earth to look like heaven, and we have the opportunity to cooperate with him in it. If we see a natural thing that's not responding in the way that heaven is, we have the opportunity to exert faith and see it released. So that's the purpose. As we showed, each of the objects in the natural temple was symbolic of one operation or another of the operations of the Holy Ghost. And it begins to come into concert. When we come into concert with Him, we can build and see a release of the flow of the Holy Ghost. And we can build and receive a release of the glory of God, because we worked it according to the pattern that He was showing us. We walked it out in concert with Him for where He's going. Building up of faith. Go to Matthew 21. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, we already know that we are the temple of the living God. Correct? We've all talked about that. We know that. We understand that. All right. Go to Matthew 21, verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and cast out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. What do you have there? You have precedent for what we've seen in the service. Was it last week or the week before with the TMJ and the popping? And a couple weeks ago. When I prayed the first time, not much happened. The popping was still going on. But then the Lord showed me that there was something that had to be dealt with in the soul. At the same time, He was showing you, which I didn't know, a thing that to release and let go of. Then when we prayed the second time, the popping went away. What I've seen so often, and I'm telling for you as you minister, recognize if something doesn't happen when the first time you pray, recognize that there may be something else you need to know first. Because here's the pattern that's being set forth. The Lord came in and He cleansed the temple. And then He healed the folks. He cleansed the temple. He ran out the money changers. He took out all those things that were causing a distraction and causing something other than holiness to be there, and He sent them away. He operated in deliverance, and then the healing broke out. I've seen that same thing happen so many times here in the last few weeks, is when you pray and something doesn't happen initially, you find out what it is that the Lord needs to have dealt with in that moment. And most of the time, it's going to be an area of the soul. An area maybe of unforgiveness, an area of a burden, an area of something that needs to be dealt with and pushed out of the temple. And when that thing is dealt with and pushed out of the temple, healing comes. So just recognize that pattern. Hallelujah. That one was right there. It was worth the whole price of admission. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you guys.